So what are some of your other sort of big discoveries? I mean, you've been around in the field for a while. So what are some of the big insights or ahas that really, especially in those early days when you're training with all these different people, when you're, on the doing logistics with John Grinder, what were some of the things that were like, oh, those aha moments?
Well, originally, I was just impressed with how smoothly, seamlessly, and easily those big names that you're talking about, and particularly, I've had occasion to be in trainings that involve John and Richard both. I've been in trainings with people like Timothy Leary and just folks that are really polished and what do I want to say? Public speakers and presenters at a caliber that I hadn't experienced previously, and it seemed so effortless. And in fact, to be fair, for a while, I think I felt a little humbled by how effortless it seemed to be, because I was comparing myself to these great folks, thinking, "Gosh, I don't know if I could ever possibly be that smooth or that." There must be some magic in that old silk hat they wear. That there must be something about them that makes them able to do it that easy. Ultimately, the discovery for me has been that NLP, or hypnosis for that matter, is only as hard as you think it is. That there's an interesting illusion, and students that I have in classes all the time are struggling with that illusion, to try to go, I've seen hypnotists do these complicated things, and it's got to be very, very difficult. And if I study really hard for years and years and years, and there was one day when I thought, well, what the hell, I've got what I've got, and I'm just going to give it my best shot with people. And it began to turn into conversation rather than techniques. It became, I think, probably the most important thing in my understanding of how it works is Milton Erickson once said that hypnosis is a relationship. Stephen Gilligan, who is an important teacher of mine, talks about that in very much the same way. And I've ultimately discovered that there are people who have a real healing, caring, committed presence, or the capacity to establish rapport with people, and a smattering of technique, and can do brilliant work. And there are other people who have got toolboxes full of, more stuff than you can imagine, but don't have that ability to create connection. And consequently, it doesn't matter how much is in their toolbox. The first tool is learning how to be with people.
Well, you've reminded me of something which I can't remember if it was sitting in one of your trainings or sitting in a training with Stephen Gilligan, but I heard a story where Milton Erickson was asked, what's your approach to getting people to go into a trance? And he replied, "I don't have an approach. I know that they have an unconscious mind, and I have an unconscious mind, so trance is inevitable."
Sooner or later, trance
And
is inevitable.
for me, that really speaks to that relationship that you speak that you're talking about. That when that relationship is there, the techniques are nice to have, but they're far from essential, because that thing of relationship plus intention plus methodology equals results. As long as you've got something that you believe in, it'll work. What are some of your thoughts about that relationship and what that's about and what's going on there? Because I know that's very important in the work that
It's
you do.
really important, the work that I do. On the internet, there's a group, a website that's called allexperts.com. And there are several different things like this. I just happen to be the hypnosis expert for that one. And they have experts in all different topics. And I remember when I was first involved with that group, I kept getting emails from people who wanted to know how to use hypnosis to get something over on somebody, or to manipulate somebody, or to, and of course, what we saw from stage hypnotists and things that we've seen in movies, tends to sort of foster that idea. And so it presents kind of a one-up relationship. The hypnotist has the power, and he's going to make people do things. Gosh, I'm so intrigued by the notion of being able to empower people, that somehow or another, that was absolutely backwards to the way that I think about it. And I'm often in discussions with people who are about how the hypnotist exercises control. And I'm like, it's really funny, because in my interactions with clients, my clients are in control. They're running the whole thing. And by the way, the good news is that means I don't have to work as much. And guess what else? the other good news is I don't have to pay them. but they're the people who really are doing the work in a session, as long as you have the capacity to invite them to do that work.
Mm. And it brings something up for me, which is, and for me, I don't draw a big distinction between where NLP ends and hypnosis begins. To
no,
me, they overlap so completely. But one of the things I noticed when I really started getting good at conversational hypnosis is that I would know that it was time to start doing the more deeply hypnotic work, because I'd noticed that I was going into a trance that the client was leading me into. Because their unconscious on some level had signaled that it was time to go inside and do that work. And so that's the work that I would do at that point. And on one level, I'd led them to that point by asking certain questions and drawing their attention to something and that sort of thing. But on another level, they'd done it. And maybe it was even, in fact, more of a dance. Is that the kind of relationship that you're speaking to?
Well, that's right. So instead of me trying to influence you or a person that I'm working with, I should say. And I like to think of it like this. You know, have you ever had the experience where you're sitting back with friends, maybe the end of a day, so you can add a little element of sort of being relaxed, maybe a bit lethargic, you know, so that you're not engaged in all kinds of other things, but you're really sort of in the moment with somebody, and they say to you, you know, I wonder what it would be like to pursue this particular dream that I have, you know, and you start just that intimate interpersonal conversation where you're sharing your thoughts and dreams with one another, and you're deeply involved in those things, and the rest of the world seems to drop away for a time. You know, that's a whole lot better model for me than to think about a model about somehow or another you've got to jockey a person into a particular position or mindset in order to be able to do something.
And it really fits with the NLP presupposition that people already have all the resources, that they're not broken, they don't need fixing.
Absolutely.
So it's not about that, you know, why would you have to control something if there's nothing nothing in particular that needs, you know, fixing or changing?
Yeah, that's quite right. That's exactly how I think about it.
So I really get that relationship is one of the really important presuppositions, you could say, that informs your work. What are some of the other presuppositions that inform how you work with people on a day-to-day basis?
Well, we've already said it in a way.